Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Picture, if you will, a man, a husband, a father. He's just leaving the doctor's office where he has received devastating news. He sobs all the way home, and he's not a crier. As he's going, he makes up his mind that when he goes to his family, he is going to see this thing through. He is not going to be emotional. He's going to hold himself together. He thinks for the sake of his family, so that they are not wrecked. He's going to hold them all himself together. He's going to put on a strong front, even when he feels completely wrecked. Picture, if you will, a young teenage girl. She's lying on her bed. She just got a crushing text from the boy she loves or likes or admires, however you want to put it. She's bummed. Her room is a mess. She doesn't clean up very well. And then mom comes to the door, and mom has some papers in her hand. It's the marks from the last grading period. Not that good. Mom's upset. She looks around at the mess of the room. She looks at her daughter just lying there on the bed. And she says, "Look at this. You need to pull yourself together." And her withering stare crushes the girl. You ever try to hold yourself together? Picture another scene. It's the workplace. The boss is pecking at this guy. He's not meeting his quotas. He's not meeting his deadlines. And the boss is laying into him hard, publicly embarrassing him in front of everybody. And he feels like he's got his entire future weighted on his shoulders. What's he going to do if he loses this job? What's he going to do? How's he going to care for his family? Sometimes, you ever feel like that Atlas guy? Remember the myth, right? Atlas, and he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. You feel like you have to control everything around you. You feel like you have to control your environment. Some people come to that because they had such a chaotic background that they now feel like they can't handle that anymore, so they've got to control everything around them now. They're gonna control and manipulate the people around them. If they can't do that, they're very least gonna absolutely control their own body, their own schedule. They're gonna be unbelievably disciplined and hard because they can't handle the chaos. That pressure to keep it all together can come from outside, it can come from inside. This feeling that we are ultimately responsible. This feeling that if I don't do it, nobody else will. This feeling if I don't take care of these people, they're going to completely collapse and fall apart. When I get into that mode, and I feel like it's all on me, that's when I start to snap at people. That's when I get short with my kids. That's when I don't want to listen to my wife and I try to withdraw. That's when I might have like an anxious pit in my stomach. When I feel like I'm responsible for everything, that's when I might wake up in the middle of the night and not be able to go back to sleep again, thinking about all sorts of people and situations. That's when I might have pastor dreams. I don't have school dreams anymore. Now I have pastor dreams. I had one a couple nights ago. What is that saying? Real quick, if you'll allow me, this is a hint. Like, I got here and there was everything was full. There's no communion set up on the altar. So I go in the back and I'm pouring all the wine into the little cups. And everybody out here is impatient and waiting. And like, and what's going on? And I get the one tray ready. It dumps over and it spills. I mean, anyways, this thing went on forever. In fact, it was so long and so slow, it felt like it wasn't a dream. It just felt real. Because sometimes, you know, in the middle of your dreams, you kind of know and you're like, it's just a dream. This didn't feel like that. So what does that say about my mindset? Right? You ever been there? You feel like you have to hold everything together. I love this passage from Colossians for like a billion reasons. But one of the reasons I like it is because it makes very clear to me that not only can I hold everything together, and I shouldn't try to hold everything together, but most importantly, there already is someone holding everything together. And that's not my job. I'm a creature. I occupy a very limited amount of space and matter and time. I have limited responsibilities. Let's look at Colossians. Look at verse 15. It's this great hymn expounding the glory of Christ, who he is and what he has done and what he is doing. Paul says he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, that he's the firstborn over all of creation. It says that by him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. We've been talking in our Bible study last night and this morning about God as creator and how through the Word made flesh, the eternal Son of God, right here, all things were made by him. Everything. Everything we can see, even the things we can't see, right? All of the angelic powers, everything that exists was created by him and for him. Every single thing that lives and breathes, every inanimate object, all is to serve the glory of the One. That's the purpose of all creation, to serve Christ. Everything was made for him. We get out of whack when we start to drop that perspective and we forget the real purpose of everything we're doing. And we think it's about meeting a quota or a deadline or keeping people in line or keeping myself together or making the bills, the ends meet. We get out of whack and we forget that it's really all for the glory of Christ and in service to him. That everything, myself and everything I do, was created for him. 17, he is before all things. Right, the eternally existent Son of God. And in him, all things hold together. The entire cosmos is held together by God. Every single molecule, every single atom, from the deepest reaches of the universe, and surely also you yourselves. Everything is held together in him. The writer to the Hebrews, speaking of Jesus, says he upholds the universe by his word of power. Our God has not simply created it and then left it be, but he continues to actively engage in every single parsec of the cosmos, engaging it, supporting it, sustaining it, upholding it. The entire universe is held together in Jesus. He's got you. He's got you. Even when you feel like you're going to fall completely apart, it's okay. Guess what he can do? He can take even your dusty ashes on the last day and hold them back together and reassemble them gloriously alive and new and better than ever. He's got you. Jesus holds all things together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the head. Not a pastor. Not a pope. Not a church leadership council. Jesus is the head. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. God has arranged everything so that Jesus would be first and over all. We'll come back to that. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In this Jesus, all of the broken and rebellious creation is reconciled to God our Father. He made atonement. His blood shed on the cross brings us together. It gives us peace. It puts everything back in its rightful place, its rightful position. It gives us order again. It gives us purpose again. It gives us our proper meaning again, our proper perspective again. We are creatures of a loving God and Father, reconciled to him in the blood of Jesus. And this crucified, risen, and ascended Jesus now reigns and rules at the right hand of God the Father Almighty over the entire cosmos. And he does that for your good. Even when things seem chaotic, even when life seems to be unraveling, even when you feel pressures outside and inside, Jesus holds it all together, ruling over everything for your good, for your benefit, for your ultimate healing and wholeness and joy. You're not the center of the universe, and that's a good thing. We make miserable gods and miserable goddesses. Jesus rules over all. So we can surrender. Yes, we are still going to work with all the strength that God provides in the callings that he entrusts us to. But we're going to do so realizing Jesus has the effort, he's got the results of this, and ultimately they serve his glory. And it all doesn't depend on me. So I can surrender that feeling of pressure and angst and fear and worry. I can surrender my own need to have everything my way. I can surrender my need to control everything around me. And I can surrender that all to God. And I can trust. I can trust that God is good. He shows it to me right there on the cross. That what he does is good and what he does is for me. In Jesus, it's so clear. I can trust his goodness, and that no matter how this works out, he's got me, and it's good. I can submit to his will. I can learn to pray gladly. That prayer that he sticks in the middle of that prayer he taught us, that prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden before he would enter into hell itself. Thy will be done, not my will. But your will be done. For his will is good, and his ways are just. And I can rest. Just like Jesus says, right? Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, everyone who's tired of trying to keep yourself together, tired of trying to keep all the plates spinning, trying to control the people and the environment around you. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Be at rest, people of God. That old song is true. He's got the whole world in his hands, including you. Be at rest. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.